Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Rogue Angel by Alex Archer. Rogue Angel number 34, Labyrinth. Narrated by Nanette Savard. With performances by Colleen Delaney, Thomas Keegan, Michael John Casey, Christopher Graybill, Thomas Penny, Joe Brack, Jeff Allen, Richard Rowan, Terrence Aselford, and Tracy Oliveira.
Anya Creed sat on the stoop of her building, watching leaves skitter across the pavement of the basketball courts on the other side of the street. A brilliant crystal blue sky illuminated the day. It felt good to be back home after months on the go.
There's something about the fall. I don't do this nearly enough. Chasing relics across the globe, fighting off the rogues and ne'er-do-wells that seem to be reaching epidemic proportions. I need more downtime.
And that was the truth. As a breeze slinked its way under the t-shirt she wore with her jeans, Anya recognized that she actually hadn't stopped in a very long time. The sword that only she could use, that of Joan of Arc, had opened her life to so much she barely had time to appreciate any of it. The bad, the good, and the bizarre. But at the moment, all she wanted to do was watch the rest of the world go by, sip her latte, and give thanks for such a gorgeous autumn day.
Maybe I'll take a nap later. A week's vacation and absolutely nothing scheduled. There's that new exhibit at the MoMA I can take in. And after that, maybe some well-deserved bookstore browsing in the village.
Anya Creed?
Yes?
I was wondering if we could talk for a moment.
Well, since you asked so nicely.
The man sat on the step below hers. He was careful, making sure she noticed that he was giving her the strategic advantage of the higher ground on the stoop. He was well built, in his mid-30s, and had about 2 days' worth of growth on his face. It wasn't quite cool enough for a jacket, yet the man seated below her wore a navy windbreaker. Anya's mocha latte had lost its sense of soothing calm.
Damn.
What? Something wrong?
I think it's entirely possible you just ruined my latte.
I apologize for intruding. It did indeed look as though you were having a moment.
A moment?
Relaxing in this lovely weather.
So what can I do for you, Mr...
Jackson. Mike Jackson.
Mr. Jackson. Okay. So what's up? And how did you know where to find me?
Well, it wasn't that difficult. I don't really think anyone's privacy is assured these days, do you?
I do my damnedest to try. But apparently I'm not having all that much luck.
If it's any consolation, you were tougher to run down than some of the other people I've been tasked with finding.
And why would you be tasked with finding me, Jackson?
My client wishes to speak with you.
Client?
Uh-huh.
Skip Tracer?
I'm not a private investigator, if that's what you're asking.
You're an information broker. Hired to get what clients need.
That's more accurate.
And who wanted you to find me?
The same people who would now like to have a word with you.
They can make an appointment if it's that important. I'm on vacation, Jackson. If they want a meeting next week, then I'll be happy to talk to them. Until then, I'm not doing anything unless I distinctly feel like it.
You see, that's gonna be sort of a problem.
Not my problem. I don't need to see anyone.
The truth of the matter is, they don't have all that much time to wait for you, Miss Creed. They're in something of a hurry.
Look, Jackson... Mike, right? I don't go a long way on passive-aggressive behavior, and I don't like being bullied either.
If you don't agree to come with me, the people I work for are going to kill someone.
Who?
Reginald Fairclough.
Don't know him.
But he apparently knows you. He's made his cooperation with my clients conditional on meeting with you.
And where is he? In Manhattan?
Western Massachusetts.
Did you just hear me say not a minute ago that I'm on vacation?
I did hear that, yes.
I think this meeting is now at an end, Mr. Jackson. When I come back down, I don't want to see you on my stoop or I'm going to get angry. I'm not sure how much you know about me, but you don't want to see me get angry.
As Jackson stared at her, Anya finally turned and walked inside, taking the stairs up to her loft.
Ruined.
She dumped the remains of the latte in the sink.
Western Massachusetts. Like that's gonna happen anytime soon.
Miss Creed.
Anya turned. Jackson stood in her living room, with two other men behind him.
I thought I told you I don't like being bullied.
I apologize, but my clients are quite insistent.
One of the men stepped out from behind Jackson.
My name is Scott Green. Have you ever heard of me?
You're a militant environmentalist. You here to police my apartment and tell me how I'm destroying the planet?
I could spend hours yelling at you for using those crummy old-fashioned light bulbs instead of CFLs.
Yeah, I haven't had much time lately to reduce my carbon footprint. Speaking of which, if you don't leave my place immediately, I'm giving serious thought to reducing yours to nothing.
Hear me out.
I don't want to talk to you, Green. This is me giving you one last chance to get the hell out of my place.
Green looked at the third, yet unnamed man, and nodded. The guy leveled a silenced pistol on Jackson's right temple.
Cooperate, or I can have my associate blow a nice hole in the side of good Mr. Jackson there.
He works for you. I just met him. I don't care if you kill him or not.
Ah, nice try, Anya. But we've done some research on you, and I know for a fact that seeing an innocent man killed in your apartment, no less, would drive you insane.
Jackson already told me something about a Reginald Fairclough. I don't know the name.
He's an antique book dealer. Quite a famous one. His collection of works is without peer.
So what's he want with me?
Old Reggie has something I want. Quite badly. And in order to retrieve it, I must first get you to his house. He wants to talk with you.
About what?
I don't know.
Listen, I can't help you. I'm dead tired. You tell Reggie to call me. That's about the best I'm gonna be able to do for you.
That's not good enough, Anya.
Green whipped out a silenced pistol. Jackson crumpled to the floor beside her love seat, dead. Anya watched a thin trail of smoke issue from the end of the silencer on Green's pistol.
I think it's a good idea that you see how very serious I am about this, Anya. I don't like being told I can't do something.
Apparently.
You'll come with us now. Otherwise, I'll have my associate here shoot you.
And how would that help you with Fairclough?
I'll find another way. I always do. I take it you've run through all the alternatives before you?
You didn't give me very many to choose from.
Why would I? I need you, Anya. The sooner we're out of here, the better.
We can't just leave Jackson. Eventually, he'll start to decompose and the smell will bring the cops.
Don't worry so much, Anya. I've got that handled. I'm not a complete monster.
I think I'll wait before I make up my mind on that one.
Green's associate stepped up. He must have stood more than 6'2" and weighed about 260 pounds. Muscles rippling, he produced what looked like a large garbage bag, unrolled it, and spread it around Jackson's body. Anya looked up at Green.
You knew this was gonna happen.
I believe in planning ahead. I wasn't sure how receptive you'd be to my request. Jackson was pretty much obsolete as soon as he agreed to track you down for us.
The other man rolled Jackson into the bag and then zipped it up.
I'm amazed you're using a plastic bag for that. Doesn't that go against everything you stand for?
It's recycled plastic. And besides, it contains the effluents better than cloth.
You've done this before, I take it.
Many times. Where other environmentalists like to preach wholesome universe nonsense, I prefer to act. I'm not about to sit idly by and watch the planet ravaged by politicians and their corporate masters. Not a chance. I'll remove whatever threats are dangerous to Mother Earth.
Results-oriented.
Results, yes. I firebombed a cosmetics factory that had been testing its products on animals and flushing toxic waste into the drinking supply of a small village in Cambodia. And when that building was reduced to ashes, I went after and got the people who owned it.
How?
I made them drink the poison sludge they'd been spewing for decades into the drinking water. Unfortunately for them, the concentration was so much higher than the water normally held. I guess they came to see that the stuff they used to make cosmetics with wasn't healthy.
And what happened to the people who were employed by the factory? How are they supposed to make a living now?
They'll find a way. Their welfare isn't my concern. If anything, they ought to be thankful to me for cleaning up their water. But they were secondary. The primary goal was to stop the factory from polluting the environment.
So you're not a humanitarian at all.
I make no pretense of being a humanitarian, Anya. My goals are simple. Wipe the toxicity of the human stain from the planet. Help rebuild the wonder that once was nature.
Anya watched as the other man hefted Jackson's body over his shoulder.
What now? Is he just gonna walk out of here with the corpse?
You really think anyone is going to ask him questions?
No.
Exactly. Now let's go downstairs. Unless, of course, you'd prefer I let my associate leave the body here and then we call the police.
I need to install some serious surveillance on this place. Video cameras might forestall this type of bull.
Anya?
Anya stared at the floor. A tiny residue of blood remained on the hardwood. Green followed her gaze.
We'll leave that as a souvenir.
Be hard to clean once I get back. I'd prefer to clean it up now, if you don't mind.
We don't have time for this. You've got 30 seconds to get it done.
Anya ran for the kitchen and grabbed a sheaf of paper towels, holding them under hot water. Through the window, she saw a cruiser parked on the curb across the street. If she could just get the two cops' attention.
Anya?
Anya turned and saw Green standing at the entry to the kitchen. She lifted the wet paper towels.
Got them.
Anya went back to the living room and knelt, mopping up the blood. She spent a few more seconds scrubbing the spot. While it looked clean, she knew that if a crime scene tech ran a UV light over it, there would be blood traces. She'd need to clean it better when she got back.
Let me just throw these away and we can go.
Back in the kitchen, Anya ditched the ball of towels in the trash. A glance out of the window confirmed the cruiser was still there.
Can I get their attention?
Anya looked over her shoulder and into the living room. Green had his back to her and was watching the other guy.
Now!
Anya pushed the window open, popped up onto the counter, and crept out onto the fire escape. Her loft was 5 stories up. She kicked at the fire escape. A bullet ricocheted off the metal handrail in front of her.
Anya!
Anya kicked the fire escape down on the second attempt and dropped 2 stories before she even knew what she was doing. She took the steep steps 3 at a time. She kicked at the release on the next level, watching the steel ratchet toward the street. Another bullet hit the walkway ahead of her. She was close to the ground now, and the cruiser was still there, idling.
Hey!
Anya waved her arms. She felt something hot bite into the side of her arm. She glanced down and saw blood.
I've been shot?
Instantly, she felt woozy. She started to turn and was overwhelmed by dizziness. Anya went over the railing of the fire escape. She landed on the garbage cans below. Dazed, she sat up and put a hand to her head. More blood.
Not good.
Anya stood and tried to claw her way out of the pile of trash. That's when she saw the cruiser's lights go on.
Hey, you okay?
Miraculously, one of the cops was heading toward her. He rushed to grab her as she fell.
Miss!
He helped her down to the sidewalk.
Men armed. My apartment.
Concern creased the face of the police officer as his partner approached them.
She okay?
I don't know.
Oh my God, Anya!
Anya could barely move her head. She recognized the onset of shock. And then Green's face swam into view overhead.
Oh, thank God she's okay.
You know her?
Oh, she's my sister. She's been taking medication for depression, and I was over to discuss some family issues. She got upset. I was in the bathroom, but when I came back out, she was gone. I thought she jumped.
Damn near did. She took a header off the fire escape. She's lucky to be alive.
Oh, thank God you were here.
She's gonna need a doctor, and we'll have to get some information from you.
Sure. Whatever you guys need.
And then Anya saw Green bring up his pistol almost in slow motion. Both police officers fell dead. The sound suppressor muffled the gunshots, and since they were in the alley behind Anya's apartment, no one even noticed the 2 cops go down. Green stepped over each of them and calmly shot them again in the head. He looked back at Anya.
Just to be sure. These guys have a bad habit of wearing body armor these days. It's not as easy to kill them anymore.
Anya tried to talk, but nothing came out of her mouth. Green squatted next to her.
That's the drug we tagged you with. Nice, isn't it? It's an ancient pharmacological specimen from the Amazon. You ought to thank me for not just killing you and being done with it.
Anya grabbed his arm and glared at him as best she could, but its effect only amused Green.
I admire your spirit, Anya. I really do. I have to admit, I don't know all that much about you, but I intend to rectify that situation immediately.
He got his arms under her, and Anya felt herself lifted to her feet. She could feel the strength in his arms and core as he hauled her upright. Seconds later, a dark van rounded the corner and drew to a stop next to them.
All right, Anya, in you go.
Anya felt herself heaved into the back. Darkness closed over her. The pile of blankets beneath her felt soft, warm, almost comfortable.
Western Massachusetts. Well, maybe a little trip won't be so bad.
Anya tried to blink and realized something had been tied around her head over her eyes. A blindfold. Had she passed out during the trip? She felt strangely rested, but she could also tell there were some lingering effects from the drug Green had shot her with. Her legs ached.
So, you're awake?
Anya sat up.
Can I take this off?
Your hands aren't tied. You can do whatever you like.
In that case, I want to go home.
Anya reached up and pulled the blindfold off. The interior of the van was still dark. Judging from the hum of the engine, Anya figured they must have been cruising along at about 70 miles per hour. Fast enough to get to their Western Massachusetts destination within a few hours, but slow enough not to provoke any police they'd be passing on the highway. In the darkness, she saw a match flare, followed by the red glow of what had to be a cigarette. Green's face was briefly illuminated before it went dark again. He was sitting in the back seat with her. Anya stared.
You smoke cigarettes?
This is not a cigarette.
Ah, you smoke pot?
Yes. Is that a problem for you?
Aside from suffocating on your passive smoke, no. I'm curious how you justify it, though.
What's to justify? It's not like I'm buying into the massive health conspiracy that was covered up by the tobacco companies.
Yeah, but you're still smoking.
I don't think your argument is going to prove convincing, Anya. I've been smoking pot for a number of years now. It's wonderful stuff.
I just wouldn't have expected that sort of thing from you. I mean, I imagine you're pretty healthy. What, a vegan?
A vegetarian, yes. Not vegan. That's too strict for me.
And fit, too. You work out a lot. Someone trained you somewhere at some point.
Yes.
And yet you put that carcinogenic substance into your lungs. I don't get it.
Yes, well, perhaps you don't deserve to get it. Ever think of that, Anya? Or are you so presumptuous to believe that you have a lock on the workings of the universe?
I'm not presumptuous.
That remains to be seen.
Anya looked at the front windshield. The wipers flicked intermittently, scattering the small accumulation of drizzle.
Where are we headed?
Springer Falls. Have you ever heard of it?
No. I don't get up here all that much.
I've had a chance to read up on some of your exploits. You've been all over the world recently.
Feels like I've been away forever.
But never Springer Falls. Maybe this trip will be a departure, a chance for you to enjoy yourself. And maybe afterward we could find a way to work together, you and me.
I've seen how you work, Green. Why in the world would I work with you?
I'm decisive. Ask any successful person, and they'll say decisiveness is absolutely necessary for achieving your goals.
Yeah, by decisive, they were probably talking about something a little less extreme than, say, murdering people.
To reach his own, but I happen to believe I have a better handle on it than you.
I hope we don't get stopped.
I hope so, too. For the trooper's sake.
Are you planning on leaving a trail of bodies in your wake, Green? Sooner or later, they'll track you down and give you the death penalty for your crimes.
If I was scared of dying, I wouldn't be the man I am today.
A murderous, pot-smoking lunatic?
My exploits may not make sense in your limited worldview, but someday my supposed crimes will be seen for what they truly are. Revolutionary.
I've been around the world. I've seen abject poverty, environmental disasters, and usually they're caused by people like you who con themselves into believing their cause is just. You can try to spin it, but it doesn't change that you're out for yourself.
Green slapped Anya so suddenly that the shock of it sent her reeling.
You don't know me, Anya Creed, and you have no right to criticize the work I've done.
You were the one who kidnapped me, Green. I don't want to be here, but you gave me no choice. So as far as I'm concerned, I have every right to comment on your petty little world vision. Don't like it? Then you can drop me off here.
Or I could just kill you.
Nah, you need me. Reginald's waiting, remember?
I told you I could find another way if it became necessary.
Yeah, you said that. But I don't believe you. If there was another way, then you probably wouldn't have driven to Brooklyn to kidnap me. But the fact you drove down to New York tells me you've run out of options.
All right, I'll be honest. I do need you. But would you prefer to do this in relatively decent health, or in a world of pain?
You're into torture, too? Well, there's another character trait to be proud of.
Compliments will only get you so far, Anya.
I could use the sword to kill Green and the guy behind the wheel. But I would never find out what Reginald Fairclough wants with me. Or how he even knows me.
Anya racked her brain, but the name still didn't ring any bells. Of course, it was a little tough thinking when she was feeling the secondhand effects of Green's marijuana. Her head swam, but Anya blinked the dizziness away.
Tell me more about the book dealer. I don't think I know Fairclough, yet he wants to see me. That intrigues me.
Lucky me. I piqued your curiosity. Fairclough is one of the most renowned experts in early history texts. I don't suppose you know much about that, do you?
You'd be surprised.
I'm sure.
Green mercifully stubbed out his cigarette and regarded Anya.
Fairclough is bordering on insane.
Well, good. Then you two will have a lot to talk about.
He's also dying, as we speak.
From what?
I've got him hooked up to a slow IV drip that is leaking a motley assortment of narcotics into his bloodstream. I'd give him about 36 hours before he's dead.
Why in the world are you killing him?
I want a certain book in his collection. It's very old. Ancient, in fact. Fairclough acquired it a few years ago. It's his most prized possession.
What's so special about this book?
It's an ancient account of the history of the world. The tome used to be in the library at Alexandria. Of course, the history ends with the destruction of the library.
I thought the texts in the library were incinerated during the fire.
Not all of them. And Fairclough got his hands on this text. The Tome of Prosos, the Ascetic.
What do you hope to learn from it?
It might tell me a lot about how the world used to be before we all got into the business of destroying our home.
Is that it?
Does there need to be more?
I guess not. But I don't think you're being honest with me. Whatever, I'll talk to Fairclough. But don't think for a moment that I'll help you get it back from him.
You might change your mind once you meet him. He can be quite persuasive.
Does he kill people to get his point across?
Not that I know of.
Well, there's a big point in his favor already.
Green leaned back and looked through the windshield. Anya felt them slowing down. Green's associate took an exit off the highway, and she watched as they drew into what looked like a small town.
We'll be there in about 15 minutes. Fairclough lives on the outskirts of town in a rather large estate.
Is he retired or actively still in the business?
The internet allows him to work from the comfort of his home.
So, technology's not all bad.
That remains to be seen. Maybe when this meeting is over, you'll understand that.
Or maybe not.
Maybe not indeed.
Anya leaned back and waited for them to arrive at Fairclough's mansion. She had her own ideas on how to resolve this situation. 15 minutes later, the van turned left down a long, winding gravel road to Fairclough's estate, presumably. Anya tried her best to pick out details as the van rolled in, but the cloudy evening sky cast long shadows across much of the landscape. Still, Anya could see sprawling lawns well manicured and shrubs perfectly coiffed, creating the impression of an English country estate. As they drew around the corner, hedged in by a massive rhododendron, Anya could see Fairclough's house for the first time. Floodlights displayed the full magnificence of the mansion. Light poured out of the massive windows, and ivy crawled over one entire side wall.
Impressive?
It's horrendous. A grotesque stain upon what would otherwise be a beautiful landscape.
You'd deny him his right to own a home like this? It's not like he got his money from poisoning kids or burning down forests.
Money is greed. Its only real value is in bringing our planet back closer to the purity of its origins. Does it look as if Fairclough cares about anything but his own personal pleasure?
His bank account is his own business. As far as I'm concerned, Fairclough got his money doing something good, promoting the value of books. I think a lot more people could use a reminder of how great books are. No one reads much these days unless it's an easy-to-digest soundbite. Just take a look at the last election cycle.
I don't vote.
Then you've got no right to complain.
You're pitifully naive, Anya.
Can I get out of this van now?
Go ahead.
A rush of fresh air greeted Anya. Anya glanced over and saw Green's associate come around the hood of the van. Green waved him over.
Anya, you haven't been properly introduced to Kessel yet.
Kessel stood silently in front of Anya and folded his arms.
Does that pose go over well with the ladies?
Anya glanced at Green.
Brilliant conversationalist, isn't he?
His tongue was cut out during the first Gulf War by the Iraqis when he was captured and tortured for information.
Why would they cut his tongue out if they wanted information?
Kessel told them from the start that he wouldn't divulge any information that would compromise his unit. They didn't like that response. So instead of trying to break him, they simply sliced his tongue off and fed it to a dog.
Oh, that's horrible.
Well, effective. But it did have an effect on Kessel that led him eventually to me. He came to see that all the wars being fought were simply proxy battles engaged in by corporate masters, that soldiers like him were being manipulated as expendable pawns. He grew to despise the vast industrialism rampant in the world today.
You really think that?
Yes, I do.
Kessel nodded as well.
All right. Let's go see Fairclough and get this over with.
Anya, I don't want you thinking this is going to be a quick job. If Fairclough is as I expect him to be, you may find yourself in for quite a challenge.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Another gun-toting associate of Green's waved them inside and pushed his dreadlocks back with his free hand.
Welcome back.
This is Creed, the one Fairclough wants to see.
Good stuff. I'm Jonas. Nice to meet you.
Another true believer?
She didn't swallow the Kool-Aid, huh?
Hardly. I think we'd best treat Miss Creed as a hostile witness, if it pleases the court.
Well, there'll be time enough for us to bring her around to our cause.
You're wasting your time, Jonas. You guys might have some good ideas, and I might understand the frustration you feel, but there's no way I can condone how you carry out your goals. Murder just doesn't wash with me.
Is that so? Well, we'll see how you feel about that later. Right now, I'm sure our leader wants to get back to see his patient.
Indeed I do. Let's go.
Jonas led them down a carpeted hallway lined with huge mahogany doors and beautiful landscape paintings. Anya pointed at one as they passed.
Seems like Fairclough has an appreciation for nature as well.
Paintings hardly express a passion for saving the world. They're just investments that will eventually yield him even more money and power. There's little to celebrate in such a collection.
Good God, man. Do you ever take a break from the self-righteousness?
The environment is my religion, and I take umbrage at your insulting tone.
Yeah, well, I calls him like I sees him.
Jonas paused at a set of double doors.
This is Fairclough's bedroom. We've had him cooped up in here since we arrived.
And when was that?
2 days ago.
Did you explain what it was you were looking for? After all, if you asked nicely enough, he might give it to you.
We asked him. Begged him, in fact, to release it to us. We told him we could keep it even safer than he could, but he refused to listen to us. Said something about us not understanding its nature and how we'd destroy it. Imagine the arrogance of the man.
Yeah, I guess I can certainly relate to that. So that's when you hooked him up to your poison drip?
Well, we need to convince him. No sense only taking a threat so far. You need to show people you mean business, after all.
Jonas is our medical professional. He did 3 years on an extended tour with a small missionary outfit down the Amazon. What he saw there propelled him to the realization that modern society is corrupt. That the only true way forward is to go backward.
Back to what our ancestors practiced. Their knowledge of nature and the universe was without peer. And yet we've gotten away from that with our machines and our supermarkets and shopping malls. The whole thing is so ludicrous, it amazes me that more people don't see it.
Yeah, I can't imagine why they wouldn't all flock to the notion that killing people and engaging in terrorism is a viable means of helping the planet. Crazy!
The sarcasm is a real downer on you. I hope that before this is over, you at least try to keep an open mind.
I always have an open mind. But that doesn't mean I let my brain and common sense fall out.
Good one.
I like her.
Look, enough, okay? Let's see Fairclough and be done with this. My head still hurts from breathing in your secondhand pot smoke.
Fair enough. Let's get inside.
As they all stepped into the bedroom, Anya was amazed at the opulence. She'd never known the antique book market to pay so handsomely. But Fairclough had either invested wisely over his career, or he had money coming in from other sources. Fairclough's bed was a towering four-poster surrounded by several modern paintings that looked familiar, as if she'd seen them in exhibitions or books. She saw the array of medical equipment next. Machines glowed with flashing lights, while digital readouts kept providing updates on the vital signs of the man who was hooked up to them. Reginald Fairclough looked tiny in such a huge bed. His frame was thin and wiry, and his face appeared gaunt. A mop of white hair topped his head, which seemed almost unnaturally large for his body. Anya saw the IV stand next to the bed and watched as the clear liquid in the plastic squeeze bags dripped down the tube and into the old man's arm.
No matter who he is, Fairclough doesn't deserve to be treated this way. No one does. What are you poisoning him with?
I told you. It's a little concoction we came up with based on Jonas's experience in the rainforest. It's quite a compelling cocktail of native herbals.
And the great thing is, if he helps us, we can reverse the effects almost immediately.
You can?
Well, if he tells us soon. Otherwise, it'll get progressively worse until it's irreversible.
What happens then?
He'll lapse into a vegetative state.
And then he'll die. So I suggest we get started.
Is he in a coma?
I think he's asleep. Let me see if I can do something to bring him around.
Anya watched as Jonas leaned in and adjusted one of the taps on the IV bag.
Wake up, old man! Got someone here to see you. Can you hear me?
Fairclough shifted under the blankets and his eyelids fluttered slightly.
Does the poison make him sick?
It's actually a stronger version of what I shot you with. It's a bit like being very drunk without the nausea and vomiting.
Not good with vomit.
You're a medical doctor and you can't stand the sight of vomit?
Never could. And anything to do with urine or feces is out too. Just freaks me out, man.
Come on, Reggie. Wakey, wakey. You see who we went and found for you?
Mr. Fairclough? I'm Anya Creed.
Fairclough's eyes rolled to Anya, and he seemed to focus on her for a moment. Anya watched a glint appear in his eyes. He seemed to recognize her. But for the life of her, Anya couldn't figure out where she might have known him from.
Anya Creed. Oh.
Can you at least get him some water?
Green nodded to Jonas, who reached for a glass of what appeared to be water on the bedside table. He put a straw up to Fairclough's lips. Fairclough then pushed Jonas away. There was anger in his eyes as he recognized Jonas and Green, but he smiled at Anya.
You don't remember me, do you?
I'm sorry, but I really don't. Have we met before?
Indeed. Help me sit up, you ignorant errand boy.
First getting Green's permission, Jonas did. Fairclough backhanded Jonas across the mouth. It caught both Jonas and Green completely by surprise. Jonas reeled away, clutching his face. Anya saw a line of blood start to trickle down.
Looks like he hasn't quite been neutralized just yet, huh?
That bastard hit me!
Go get that cleaned up.
You want me to leave you here alone?
Kessel's out front, and I don't think Anya's going to try anything right now. She's too interested in what our host has to say. I should remind you that if you try anything, it won't go down well for you.
No need to repeat yourself. I know what you're capable of.
Talk to him. Convince him to give me the book, and you might just go home alive.
Fairclough reached out for her hand, and she let him take it.
Come closer, Anya.
She sat on the edge of the bed, careful not to disturb the IV line.
I'm here.
A few years ago, at a history conference on the Egyptian influence on world history. You gave a talk on the late period's 30th dynasty that was truly compelling.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Egypt is one of my passions, you see. And it was thrilling to hear such a talk coming from someone like you. I mean, I've seen that dreadful TV show.
I'm nothing like the other host, I assure you.
And I realized that after you gave your presentation. I actually tried to say thanks, but you were whisked away immediately after your talk. I thought you might have had a family emergency or something, so I didn't pursue you.
No family emergency. Just another relic that someone wanted me to chase down for them.
And now you're here.
Because you sent them to bring me here.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have put you in danger.
Anya brought the glass with the straw back to his mouth.
Oh.
He drank, but didn't say anything more. Anya looked around, giving him time to compose himself.
You have a lovely home.
I wish you were seeing it under better circumstances. Unfortunately, one never knows what sort of riffraff will drop by unexpectedly.
The same riffraff dropped by on me earlier today. Rather rude of them.
Indeed. But we are where we are, and must endeavor to make the best of a bad situation. These lads want something of mine very badly, as I understand it.
A book. Green said it was called the Tome of Prosos?
An early record of human history up until the great conflagration at Alexandria.
How is it that you have a copy? It was my understanding that all the books in the library were incinerated beyond retrieval.
They were, but there was also a movement afoot to make copies of all the texts in the library in case the unfortunate happened. Foresight that proved to be too late to save most of the texts. However, the Tome of Prosos was already copied.
And you have this copy?
I have the only copy in existence. And I hope to have it in my possession a while longer, mind you.
You don't know what to do with it. The knowledge in that book shouldn't belong to only one man. You've got to let the world have it. It belongs to the planet.
You're a hypocrite on top of everything else. As if my releasing it would signal the great reformation you so fervently wish. You'd hoard the book yourself, using what its pages speak of to further your own ends.
My own ends are to benefit the planet.
Are they?
Of course.
Then why don't I simply release the book to the public over the internet? Would you have a problem with that?
Well, yes, I would. But not because I wouldn't have control of the book, but because its power would be usurped by corporations and other greed heads.
You don't know half of what the book contains.
Well, neither do I. Is this why you asked to see me? Because of the book? If that's the case, would you mind filling me in on the details?
It's quite simple. As you know, the tome contains a written account of the history of the world from its creation, according to Prosos, to mankind's ascent through the Egyptian dynastic ages. It's a marvelous read, provided you understand it. And let me say, for the record, you will not understand it.
I'll take that chance.
A real treat about the tome is that it also contains within its pages a codex that reveals a method for healing the planet in times of duress.
Meaning what exactly?
Imagine knowing how to reduce the toxicity in the environment. That is what the book contains, and that's what I believe our good friend Green here really wants it for. He doesn't want to learn from the lessons of history so much as to be the savior of the world.
Sure, I could stand being called a savior. Who wouldn't enjoy that?
You could be so much more than just a savior, provided you knew what to do.
How do you solve the codex?
I haven't been able to crack that yet. It's one reason I opted for retirement, so I could work on just that. It would have been nice to give the secret back to the world.
All right, enough of this. Tell her where the book is so we can get it and leave this place. Makes me sick just thinking how much money it must have taken to buy this joint.
You know as well as I do that he'll never let either one of us out of here alive.
I was thinking about that too.
Green did his best to hide a smirk, but he failed and looked away. Anya frowned. She looked back at Fairclough.
So you can see that I really have no reason to reveal the book's hiding place.
I'm still not sure why you asked to see me, but I might be able to do something about this situation. However, I'd need to get the book first if we have any hope of nullifying the poison in your veins.
Are you sure?
Yes.
It won't be easy. I took steps to protect the book and make sure it would never be stolen from me.
A security system?
Something like that. I'd rather hope never to have to use it. But when they broke into my house the other day, I had no choice. I was barely able to get it protected before they took me hostage.
All right, so how do I disarm it?
It's not really something you can decode. You have to find your way through the maze.
Maze?
Yes. The book is hidden at the center of a maze I designed under my estate.
You've got to be kidding me. There's a maze underneath this house? How in the world did you manage to construct that?
I hired people to excavate the area and build it to my precise specifications.
But what's the point? I mean, no offense, but if you wanted some elaborate security system, there are plenty to choose from. You could hire someone to design you a completely unique system.
I'll tell you why. Because he's gotten too much into the pages of some of his books, apparently.
I had the maze built because I didn't trust the security systems everyone else uses. Electronics can be defeated. Ciphers and codes don't matter a whit to me. But genuine ingenuity is a quality I value above all else. Needless to say, most of the ruffians who would steal the book don't possess even a fraction of it.
Keep the insults up, old man, and I'll...
Kill me? Seems to me you're already doing that, you ignorant pup. Now be quiet while I talk to this wonderful woman here.
All right, so what's the deal with the maze? Do I just go down there and find my way to the center of it to retrieve the book?
That would be too easy. I had to make it difficult to discover and even tougher to get through.
So what happens when I get in there?
There are puzzles you'll need to figure out.
Puzzles?
Challenges. Think of them that way. They're tests, of course, and unfortunately the penalties for failing them are rather... absolute.
Absolute? What does that mean? Deadly?
Yes. I'm sorry for putting you through this, Anya. You don't deserve it. I'd wanted to warn you that the copy of this book exists because of your understanding of Egyptian history, but I never expected...
Well, I won't argue that point. Can't you just shut the thing down?
No. For reasons that will become obvious once you enter the maze.
You're not giving me much to go on here.
I know, and I'm sorry.
Well, how do I get into the maze?
There is an entrance in the barn behind the third horse stall. I don't have horses any longer. I don't think you'll have any trouble finding your way in.
All right. But... Listen, couldn't you just give me the answers to the challenges?
Fairclough's eyes rolled back in his head. Green felt his neck for a pulse.
He's passed out. Probably from the pain.
Can't you reduce it?
Well, yeah, I could. But why would I?
So I can get more answers out of him. So I can have a better shot at finding your precious book.
He told you what you needed to know.
Hardly. I've got a really bad feeling about this thing. Reasons that will become obvious once you're in the maze? I mean, what's that about?
I don't know, and I don't really care. But you'd better get going.
You pass out from the pain again?
Seems so. You know the old coot has himself a maze underneath this place?
For real? That's pretty wild.
You two should come with me. That way, when the maze kills you, I'll only have to deal with Kessel when I come back up with the book.
Oh, man, you are funny, Anya. I like the way you unload those barbed comments like that. It's kind of hot.
You're a buffoon. Let me guess, Green, you're going to stay up here while I do all the work, right?
Well, I need to be here, and so does Jonah, so he can monitor our patient. However, since you seem to have developed a liking for Kessel, you'll be glad to know he's going with you.
He'll get in my way.
I doubt it. I think you might find him useful.
How so?
I suppose it depends on what sort of challenges Fairclough has put into the maze. But Kessel is incredibly strong and adept at killing things. If you come across guard dogs, for example, he can dispatch them quickly.
You know this for a fact?
It wouldn't be the first time we've come across attack dogs, if that's what you're asking.
Fine. The sooner I get down there, the better. I want to go home and forget this day ever happened.
And I want that book. You'd do well to remember that when you start thinking about getting the better of Kessel. I've already instructed him to simply kill you if you give him reason to suspect anything is amiss and try to get the book himself.
He wouldn't find it without me.
I wouldn't be so cavalier. Kessel is remarkably intelligent. Just because he doesn't have a tongue doesn't mean he can't read, and he reads a lot.
So what you're saying is he's not just a mean-looking killer? There's a brain behind all that brawn.
Exactly.
Anya studied Fairclough in the bed. He hadn't shown signs of coming back around. Jonas followed her gaze.
The pain takes him after a while. One of the symptoms of this particular toxin. He'll be out for a good long time.
Unless, of course, we increase the dosage of the poison.
Why would you do that?
Because you're not moving fast enough. You're on the clock here, Anya.
Jonas checked his watch.
As I said, I can monitor the flow of toxin into his body, but after a certain time, we won't be able to undo the damage.
How much longer does our antiquated bookseller have to live?
I'd estimate no more than 12 hours. That's the maximum time after which I can still reverse the damage.
What's happening to him now?
His neurological system is being ravaged, but the effects at this point are temporary. An increase in the dosage will accelerate the damage and make it irreversible.
And if you stop the flow into him?
It's not that easy, Anya. It's not as though you can simply rip the IV out and expect a full recovery. He needs to receive the antidote to make a full recovery.
You have it?
Of course we have it. Show her.
Jonas produced a small black doctor's bag. Reaching in, he pulled out a different IV bag.
This is the drip that will reverse the effects of the drug on Fairclough. You don't know how to administer an IV, do you?
I can't stand needles.
Ah, good. Then you will obviously need to keep me around after you get the book.
How about that? Your doctor just sold you out.
He did no such thing.
Sure sounded like it. Where's the automaton you call Kessel?
Waiting outside the door. Although if I were you, I wouldn't be so quick to dismiss him that way. He's very touchy about his condition.
I'll keep it in mind. Are we done here?
12 hours. You have a watch?
Must have forgotten it back when you kidnapped me.
Green unstrapped his and tossed it to Anya. She turned it over and looked at it closely.
A fake Rolex?
What about it? Keeps good time.
We both got one when we were in Hong Kong to protest the environmental impact of recycled computer parts. Nothing special about them, but they do keep decent time.
Anya checked Green's watch and made a note of the time.
Fine, but when I come back, you'd better have that bag rigged and ready to go.
We will.
One more thing. This isn't over. When I return, we're going to have a serious discussion about your little organization and its stated goals for killing innocent people.
Whatever floats your boat, Anya. Now, run along. Kessel is waiting.
Have fun.
Anya left, glaring at Jonas. Kessel stood just outside, as Green had promised.
You coming with me?
Kessel nodded.
All right, then, let's get to it.
Kessel led the way down the corridor and through a massive kitchen that could have easily handled the workload of 2 restaurants. Anya marveled at the shining cookware and 6-burner cooktops with names she recognized from the fanciest restaurants.
Fairclough certainly knows how to live.
A single heavy door led from the kitchen out to the backyard. But yard wasn't quite the appropriate name for the sprawling lawn that greeted them. Floodlights illuminated a pair of tennis courts in the distance, an Olympic-sized swimming pool, and a beautiful flagstone patio area, complete with its own outdoor kitchen and bar. The place was luxurious and amazing.
Anya found herself staring in wonder at the carefully trimmed plants and bushes they passed. Kessel, for his part, seemed unmoved. He simply kept striding ahead toward a distant spot concealed behind a low rise in the yard. As they crested the grassy slope, Anya saw the outline of a large building and assumed this was the barn. It looked old, in stark contrast to the rest of the estate. She could tell by the clapboard, weathered to a fine slate gray, that it had been built more than 100 years ago. Kessel stopped in front of the main door and pointed. Anya glanced at him.
You're not going to get the door?
He just stared at her.
Look, if you're coming into the maze with me, we need to get some basic communication down. I take it you're familiar with hand signals?
Kessel didn't respond for a moment, but then finally nodded once.
All right, then. We'll go with those. And improvise if something comes up we can't describe, okay?
Kessel nodded again, this time a little faster. Anya pulled on the massive wooden door. It swung open. The smell of horses and hay enveloped her.
I'm gonna have a massive allergy attack if I'm not careful. See, that's not too much to ask, is it? We might even get along, you and I.
Kessel raised an eyebrow. Anya smiled.
Maybe not.
Anya found a switch on the wall. Instantly, light flooded the stalls, and she saw the one marked number 3. Anya pointed.
I think that's our destination.
She led Kessel over to the stall and looked inside. Nothing but hay and dust. A giant spider web hung in the upper corner. Anya shook her head.
Don't care for spiders much.
Kessel nudged her into the stall. Anya looked around.
What do you think? Trapdoor? Would it be that easy?
She knelt and hauled back a whole pile of hay, but all she saw was a dirt-covered wooden floor. Anya stood back up.
Guess not.
She backed out of the stall and examined the entry, but the simple latch over the gate didn't seem out of place. Kessel, for his part, stood still, studying every inch of the stall. Anya looked at him.
See something?
Kessel shrugged, stepped forward, and touched a single nail jutting out of the closest wall. As the wall slid back and in, a black crawl space was revealed.
Well, look at that. Your first contribution to the cause. It's a shame you're one of the bad guys. We might have gotten along well, you and I. Oh, well, I'll take point. Don't let me catch you staring at my ass.
Anya thought she saw a glint of amusement in Kessel's eyes. The crawl space was dark and dank. She took in the scent of moist earth. The crawl space led down at a slight angle for 20 feet. Anya felt her knees bruising against the cold stones beneath them. She kept moving. Behind her, Kessel made very little noise. The path turned at a sharp left, and she saw ambient light coming from somewhere. She glanced back at Kessel.
Got light up ahead here.
He nodded, and on they went.
Ow!
Anya's head kept bumping the top of the crawl space, dislodging dirt on her head, as long as it didn't get in her eyes. Finally, they arrived at an opening tall enough to stand in. Kessel drew himself out of the crawl space like some winter bear just awakened from hibernation. His massive girth filled the architecturally complete room in which they found themselves.
Glad we're out of there. Not crazy about having to find my way through dark, small spaces.
Kessel nodded. The room was approximately 11 feet by 11 feet with a simple table in the center. In the middle of the table sat a book. Kessel headed right for it. Anya stopped him.
Hold it, Slick.
He paused and looked at her.
You really think that's all there is to this?
Kessel shrugged.
You're smarter than that, Kessel. And there's no way Fairclough would put the book he's trying to protect right here. There's no challenge in this. And he did warn me of puzzles. I'm guessing this must be one of them.
Anya looked around the room again. Something seemed odd about it, and the third time she looked, she finally understood.
There's no exit.
Kessel's eyes blazed, and then he nodded understanding. Anya studied the table.
So, somewhere there's gotta be a clue how we're supposed to free ourselves from this place. I mean, we could go back through the crawl space.
A cloud of dust poured into the room. The crawl space had caved in.
All right, so much for that.
Anya examined the table again. There seemed nothing special about it. It was made of wood, with four simple, straight legs.
Nothing there.
But what about the book? Anya peered at it from all angles, but could detect nothing special about it, either. As far as she could tell, it was a hardcover edition of the King James Bible.
What do you think?
Kessel shrugged.
Yeah, we don't have much choice, do we?
Kessel shook his head. Anya looked at the book again. She could, of course, pick it up and see what happened. But was that the wisest move? Overhead, a single light bulb burned in the ceiling. It didn't appear that some type of guillotine would drop on them if she picked up the book. She pointed to Kessel.
Do me a favor. Check those walls for any hidden firing ports, would you? The last thing I want is to find myself impaled by a spear or projectile I can't see.
Together, they ran their hands over every inch of the walls they could reach. But try as she might, Anya couldn't find anything to suggest something lethal awaited them if they opened the book.
All right, let's try it.
Kessel flipped open the cover before Anya could stop him.
Hey!
He stared at the book. The pages were blank. Anya leafed through it, but found nothing at all written in it. She glanced at the spine just to make sure she hadn't missed something.
Well, that's weird.
Kessel frowned. Anya tried to pick the book up off the table, but it didn't budge.
Is it stuck?
Kessel tried too, but it wouldn't give. Anya nudged him out of the way and started leafing through the pages again.
There's got to be something in here we're missing.
On the fourth time through, she finally found it at the back of the book. The last page covered a small button in the upper corner. Anya glanced at Kessel.
What do you think?
Kessel shook his head, but Anya poised her finger over it.
What have we got to lose? We either stay here and starve or press this and take our chances.
Kessel nodded. Anya pressed the button.